Congress is a step closer to transforming the Veterans Affairs Department. House and Senate negotiators have agreed to a $17 billion deal. Among many things, the bill would provide funding for veterans who seek care at non-VA facilities. For all the details, we turn to Martin Matuszak. He's a staff writer at the Hill newspaper who has been covering all of this. Martin, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. $17 billion. Break down how this would be allocated under what they have agreed to so far.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Well, about $10 billion of the sum would be go towards giving veterans a choice card to seek private care, primarily in the cases if they live more than 40 miles away from a VA facility, or if they have to had to wait longer than 30 days to see a VA doctor. Another $5 billion would go towards hiring additional medical staff, doctors, nurses, assistants, and then the rest would go towards leases at 27 major medical sites across the country.
So on the last two, how many more staff could VA hire with this? And tell me a little bit about where those 27 clinics or facilities are going to be.
In terms of the number of staff, that's still actually being figured out. About 2 weeks ago, Acting VA Secretary Sloan Gibson announced that they needed $17.6 billion at the VA to hire around 10,000 more doctors, nurses, and staff. He's not getting all that money, so that number is going to shrink, but we're talking about thousands of physicians. In terms of the sites, they're all across the country. I know there's one in Oklahoma, there's a few in Texas. They're all around. They're in 18 different states.
Well, how does any of this bill go after the problem that prompted all this brouhaha in the first place, which was the scheduling system and the cheating on and keeping of, you know, phony lists of waiting lists and so forth? What about all of that?
Well, there is an accountability piece in this bill. The bill gives the new VA secretary or a VA secretary new powers to fire or demote employees who are found to be incompetent or engaged in fraudulent practices or just plain underperforming. That really wasn't – he really didn't have that power before. This bill would grant him new authority, new latitude to do that.
And in terms of concessions made, I mean, let's remember that the Senate at one point said that they wanted a bill of $35 billion. That's about half of that. What was the give and take between Democrats and Republicans?
Well, both sides made concessions. As you pointed out, Democrats wanted a much larger bill. Even last week, the head of the Veterans Affairs Committee in the Senate, Bernie Sanders of Vermont, he wrote his own plan that was for $25 billion. So it's even less than that. So it's a smaller bill for the Dems. On the Republican side, the concession they made is that this is $17 billion. $12 billion of it is in emergency spending, which would add to the budget deficit. $5 billion comes from offsets within the VA, but the fact that there's $12 billion in there that's going to add to the deficit is the major concession that Republicans made in the negotiations.
So with $10 billion of emergency spending, you said $12 billion is emergency? Or
$12 billion of the entire bill is emergency spending, yes.
So that means it does not have to be offset by savings elsewhere. It's not part
right.
of PAYGO.
Right.
Well, how is that likely to go down with people in the House other than Jeff Miller?
We'll see in the next day or two. Jeff Miller, pretty confident guy. He thinks he can get it done. He thinks he can sell the Tea Party members and fiscally conservative members on this because it is an emergency. He concedes that it's not going to be easy. There probably won't be a unanimous vote in the House. It'll probably be pretty close. But we've already seen Democrats like Nancy Pelosi come out in favor of this bill, a kind of a clear indication that Democrats are going to support it by a wide margin.
So he doesn't need all the Republicans that otherwise he might. But I want to ask you about those offsets. Where are they going to come from?
They're all going to come from within the VA. The details are still being worked out. Again, legislative text hasn't really been available. But one of the key things that Miller pointed out is of that $5 billion, the offsets, about $400 million is coming from limits or caps they're putting on bonuses within the VA system. That's been a big political lightning rod. Lawmakers have really raked the VA over the coals over the idea that people were doing all these fraudulent practices and still getting bonuses. The new bill puts limits on those. It also makes a variety of other legislative tweaks. But by putting a limit on those bonuses, Miller predicts they're going to get at least $400 million back.
Now, I wanted to ask about a bigger picture, and that is the fact that the VA, the population that it purports to serve, the veterans, is actually a shrinking population in the long term. Was there any debate or discussion about whether all of this increased capacity is really what they need for reform.
Well, actually, I mean, a big part of the debate has been about capacity, but the VA insists that their population is actually growing. They're saying that there are going to be more veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and that they're you know, they change other things. People with Agent Orange exposure can now come in. This bill is a 3-year program. I think the first year of it is really going to show whether people leave the VA in droves for this private care option, or if they just decide to stay in the system because they like it. It's the whole idea of capacity. I think both sides are kind of holding their breath and waiting to see what happens here.
We're speaking with Martin Matyshak. He's a staff writer for The Hill newspaper. And at least initially, after some lawmakers pitched their ideas for overhauling the Veterans Affairs Department, some said the reverse would happen, that it could attract veterans who now seek private care to a VA that they know is even more flush with cash. Is that something that now doesn't look likely? Because it could, in theory, overwhelm the system.
Oh, well, I think that's why that $5 billion piece is in there to staff up. Acting VA Secretary Sloan Gibson a few weeks ago said, you know, before we used to, in terms of our care, we used to drive towards a budget number. Now we're actually driving towards capacity in terms of what we actually need to do to treat all these veterans. I mean, the VA has really undergone, since all these scandals happened a couple months ago, they've really, you know, think about rehabbing a house. They've ripped out the walls. They've stripped the floors. They are down to the basic frame, and now they have to build themselves back up. So in terms of capacity and if people are going to leave or come back into the system, it all depends. We're in the early stages of that yet.
All right, so now it's a matter of debate within the respective houses, and you mentioned that it's likely to be close in the House. What's the time frame for all of this with a recess coming up pretty soon?
Well, Jeff Miller believes that they're going to – the full House will vote on the conference committee report or on the bill by Wednesday. And if they vote by Wednesday, the Senate can take it up probably by Thursday or later Wednesday, depending on when the House takes it up. And they can be out of here Friday with this victory underneath their arm.
And do they talk, and not just Jeff Miller or Bernie Sanders, but others, the rank and file, do they talk about not doing anything on this, what that might play like when they go back to their districts? In other words, do voters care about this when they go back?
I think voters do care about this. I think the scope of the problems, I mean, we're talking about nationwide fraud within the VA. Everyone has heard about it in some way, shape, or form. The wait lines have possibly contributed to deaths in some states, especially in Arizona. I think people do care about this. I think the rank and file, no one wanted to see this fail. I mean, Bernie Sanders just said it would have been an absolute disgrace if they had gone home and not had this done. Just because I think it would have been another classic example of Washington gridlock and partisanship and how dysfunctional Congress has been, and also because the campaign, Election Day is less than 100 days away, and, you know, if you're on this committee, if you're on a VA committee, and here's this nationwide emergency where deaths might have been involved, and you got nothing done, I know I wouldn't want to go to a town hall myself.
And very quickly, one of the other issues that had come up was the whistleblower or lack of whistleblower protections and widespread retaliation at VA. Did the bill address that at all? I know that's part of the special counsel investigation, but is there anything in the bill that increases protections for whistleblowers?
Not that I'm aware of, but again, I think that would fall under the accountability piece, where the new VA secretary would, you know, if someone is found to be retaliating against a whistleblower, I think that would fall underneath incompetent or underperforming management. They'd be able to be fired. But in terms of specific whistleblower protections, it wasn't mentioned by Miller or Sanders yesterday.
Martin Matyshak is a staff writer for The Hill. Martin, thank you.
Thank you very much.